Another episode of the Doster and Deshaun podcast here on the Field of 68 Media Network. Deshaun, it is here. It is Selection Sunday. We have a bracket. How fired up are you?
This is what I look forward to every year. This is going to be an amazing tournament, man. I'm excited. I don't know about you, but I'm fired up. I'm sweating. That's how fired up I am right now.
So how do you feel about West Virginia's region? You feel good about it?
It's not bad at all. I mean, I'm shocked that we got as high as we did with the way that we finished the season. I would say that. Morehead State's a solid team. I'm not going to even think about brushing by them the way we've been playing. But as far as like that region, I think we got a good chance to like come out of it. I mean, Houston plays very, very hard. They played great today. Rutgers is Rutgers. I mean, we can't knock Rutgers. Clemson is a nice, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde type deal there, like how their season's been going. But I really feel like we got a good chance. You know, Syracuse is going to be interesting. I mean, if they get out of that first round with San Diego State, like Syracuse, that zone is always hard to break for teams that don't see it all the time. So, I mean, the region's good, but I still think we have a really good chance of coming out on top.
Yeah, I think you got a pretty good draw. And we'll kind of get into that more in a little bit as the stream kind of goes on. I want to start at the top with just kind of overall reactions to the bracket. I don't think that there were really all that many things to complain about. Like, I'm a little bit – I'm just wondering how – Georgia Tech ended up like on the 9 seed line.
Yeah.
It's a little bit weird that Oregon State and Drexel, Oregon State and Georgetown got on the 12 seed line, and Drake is playing in a playing game, where Drake would have been like they were the at large teams, and no one would have thought that Georgetown or Oklahoma State would have had the chance to get in. I think that's just kind of down to the fact that we don't put automatic bids in the playing games. Is my guess the reason why I came out that way, but I would understand if Drake and Wichita State had a little bit of a complaint about that. And then Oklahoma State as a 4 seed is strange. West Virginia was seeded higher than Kansas. They were seeded higher than Texas. And they were seeded higher than Oklahoma State. And that one, I'm gonna need to hear an explainer on that. It sounds like they really took into account the fact that Oklahoma State had a couple losses and, like, their metrics weren't that great because they played close games. But I don't know. Where do you have any? Was there anything that stood out for you? Anyone that got snubbed? Anything? What do you got?
Well, to the Oklahoma State point, yeah, I kind of felt that was strange. Their team showed that they can beat good teams with or without their better players on the floor at times late in the season. The way they finished their season was, I mean, besides not winning the last one, it was great. I think we talked about them having the most quad one wins of the year out of everyone.
So real quick, they're second. Illinois has the most. Yeah, Illinois has 12 quad one wins, which is the most.
I would say, because
Oklahoma State has 10, which is the second. And there's only one other team that has more than 8. So that they have the second most quad one wins.
I couldn't put it together. I kind of thought that was strange. I was expecting us to possibly be like a on the outskirts of the three like we were, but even 4, because I thought they were going to probably make room for them because of the way they were playing the last 2-3 weeks of the season.
Yeah, my expectation was to basically you would have flip-flopped Oklahoma State and West Virginia. So Oklahoma State would have been the 3, maybe even snuck onto the 2 line, while West Virginia would have probably been a 4. But, I mean, if your biggest quibble is a 3 seed should have been a 4 and a 4 seed should have been a 3, you probably got a pretty good bracket.
Not to mention, I don't want West Virginia getting lower. I mean,
So let's start by breaking down the West region first, where Gonzaga is the number 1 overall seed. Mm-hmm. And for my money, I think that Gonzaga got the easiest draw out of all of the number 1 seeds, which is kind of makes sense. You know, they're the number 1 overall seed. So what do you make of their region overall and their chances to get to a Final Four?
I look at the teams in their region. I mean, Oklahoma will play hard, but I don't see Oklahoma stopping Gonzaga. Missouri as well. Creighton will push Gonzaga. But even then, I just feel like Gonzaga is too deep of a team and their guards are just better. For like, mm-hmm. I feel like their guards are better. They have a lot more weapons at the guard area than Creighton does. So I feel like Creighton would be their best bet to slowing them down, like within those first two games. Then, I mean, you go through the list. If these people on the other side can make it through Iowa, like Eastern Washington, I actually think will be pretty good. But if they can make it through Iowa, who I think will be playing Gonzaga, who Gonzaga's already beaten, I think Gonzaga will be fine.
Yeah, I think so too. So my biggest thing is we've already seen them play Iowa, yeah. Right? And they, mm-hmm. they beat Iowa. I think they ended up winning by 11, but it felt like a game that
they were up. They were they were up the majority of the time they were playing.
Yeah, they were basically in control the entire time. Then you have Kansas as a 3 seed, and we don't know what's going on with Kansas in terms of how many players are going to have eligible. Jeff Goodman keeps reporting that they have a very important player, his words, that is not going to be playing on at least in the first couple of games because he tested positive. We know that David McCormick's been out with contact tracing. And then Virginia, like, they're not even going to get to Indy until Friday. You know, they still have to go through all the testing stuff that they have to do to be able to get cleared. Like, they're not practicing right now. They're in quarantine. So you put all that stuff together, and I feel like they probably have the easiest draw. Where do you see – what's the most intriguing first-round matchup for you out of this region, and where do you see – do you see any upsets?
In this region, I actually look forward to watching the Eastern Washington and Kansas game. They have – 4 or 5 guys who are very, like, you know, I'll always like balanced scoring, and I feel like they have 4 or 5 guys who can make it difficult for a team, especially they rebound the ball, which, I mean, not Kansas is usually a job of group rebounding. David McCormick usually isn't a guy that's, like, leading the team with many rebounds as a season guy. I've seen him with 3 rebounds to finish the game numerous times. And then I look at, you know, Tanner Grills, yeah, like they have him, they have Kenneth Aiken Jr., who rebound the ball really well. And I mean, obviously it's Kansas and it's Eastern Washington, two different, completely different programs. And Kansas plays against a ton of ranked competition throughout the year, but missing a certain amount of players coming into the first round game, a rusty. I don't know if Dave will be rusty. Dave McCormack will be rusty, but not having these games to get him ushered into the tournament won't help Kansas out either. I feel like this is an opportunity for a team to take advantage of a higher seeding.
Yeah, I could see them getting picked off. For me, I think the two most interesting first round matchups are probably going to end up being the 4 and 5 seed games. UC Santa Barbara is loaded, dude. Like they have their starting point guard is Jagori McLaughlin, who used to be, I think he was at Oregon State. He was a top 75 recruit. They got a kid named Miles Norris at the 5, who started out at Oregon. He was a top 100 prospect. Like, they are just littered with high major talent. Joe Pasternak, the former Arizona assistant, is their head coach. They're very, very good. And I think that they have the kind of athletes that can match up with Creighton and like deal with the mismatches that Creighton's perimeter players create. So I think that's going to be a really interesting matchup. I also love Ohio against Virginia. I don't know how much you've seen Ohio play this year, but they got a kid named Jason Preston.
He has a great story.
And he's going to play in the NBA one day. Like, he's elite. And the fact that they're going up against that team coming out of their pause is going to be very, very interesting to watch. I'm probably going to have Santa Barbara and Ohio both advancing out of that region. The one other matchup that I do just want to mention.
That wasn't even a surprise for me, though. My bad. I'm sorry. That wasn't even a surprise for me. I kind of thought Ohio being, as far as Preston doing what he does, and Virginia, I wasn't too bought in the guards this year. Like, even with Keir Clark, like, I just wasn't too bought in. They didn't play too consistent.
That's the obvious one, right? Like, Virginia and Ohio, and then Villanova, Winthrop, but the two obvious ones just because of the circumstances that the higher seeds are going through, and there's not much you can do about that. The other matchup that I'm really interested in is in the second round. Assuming Oregon can get past VCU, I think that Oregon matchup against Iowa is just fascinating because you need to have a big body to be able to slow down Luka Garza. But on the other hand, you know, the way that Oregon wants to play with the 5 wings that are all they basically have 5 guys that are all 6'6" that play.
Yeah.
Like, that's going to be very difficult for Iowa to match up with. And I think that is a place where they can get picked off. I would not be surprised.
I mean, I like Oregon averages what, like around 70 points again. I feel like that's gonna be a bad matchup for Iowa. Granted, Iowa's been doing better. You've been preaching to us, and Iowa has been doing better defensively.
I got a number for you. I got a stat for
talk
you. Ready?
Talk to me.
So my guy Bart Torvik, the guy that runs the Totally T-Bomb, the site with all the metrics there. I think it's called T-Bomb. I think that's what the metric, whatever it is. It's an efficiency site that you could break it down by dates. And since February 6th, Iowa is the nation's eighth most efficient defense. That's hard for me to say. Eighth most efficient defense. There you go. Third time's the charm. Which I think says a lot about how good they've been. You know, they've been a top 10 defense over 6 weeks. That's a pretty big sample size. So I am bought in on them on that end. And I do think that they'll get past Oregon. But that is – Oregon is a team that is seeded as a seventh seed, despite being the talent of a four seed because of issues and losses that they took when they were coming off of COVID pauses. So I just think that's a rough draw for Iowa in the second round, but I do think that it's one that they can win.
Yeah, I was about to say, I'm similar in a sense. I feel like Iowa's bought in enough defensively to, you know, do what they need to do normally offensively to beat Oregon. Mm-hmm. You know?
All right. So coming out of that region, who do you have in your Elite Eight? Who do you have getting to the Final Four? Is there any way that someone like a USC or someone like that can be able to make a run in this bracket, DC?
I have USC getting to in a Sweet 16 and, of course, to play against Iowa. Like, I have that. That's a given. I don't see them passing.
Ooh, Evan Mobley against Luka.
Yeah, no, that's the matchup I kind of looked at. I feel like USC can beat Wichita or Drake at the end of the day. And I kind of think that Eastern Washington will get past Kansas, and it'll be USC, Eastern Washington, and you know, USC, Evan Mobley is a little bit too much for whatever they got going on there regardless. And they'll play against Iowa. I got Gonzaga and Iowa, though. Definitely meeting up.
Yeah, I do too. I'm really excited to see that matchup again, just because, you know, there's going to be points on points on points on points on points in the game. But I don't think before the Elite Eight that Gonzaga plays a game where that gets kept within like 15 points.
No, there's not a team there. There's not a team there.
Yeah. I don't think that. So we both have Gonzaga in the Final Four. Do you have them getting there unscathed?
I got Gonzaga there. I have, I got Gonzaga there. Definitely. It's not even close.
All right, what's the last thing in the region that we'll move on? What is the biggest storyline that you are tracking in that region? I'll go first, I guess. Mine is whether or not Gonzaga can go undefeated. Like, I think that's the biggest storyline of this tournament. They're chasing perfection. The last team to do it was in 1976. That was Indiana, who also went 32-0. So that's I think they get it done. I think that they'll get to the Final Four unscathed.
Sheesh. It comes down to me, if Creighton can get past their off-the-court issues. I mean, not many teams get hit with, like, something like this at the very end of their season. You know, we've seen stuff early in the season, preseason, and during the earlier parts of the season where, you know, teams have to go through some type of adversity. Not many teams get hit with stuff like this toward the end of their season. And it looked like they got past it before the last game, and then they just got housed. So it'd be interesting, because I kind of feel like Creighton is the only team that can literally stand in Gonzaga's way before they advance to, what is that, the Sweet 16 possibly, or Elite Eight, whichever two. But Creighton might be the only team that can match up with them offensively and like just give them a push.
Yep. All right. Before we move on to the next region, I just want to tell you guys a little bit about our partners over at Bet Rivers. If you haven't signed up with Bet Rivers yet, now's the time. Bet Rivers Sportsbook is offering a $250 match bonus for your first deposit. But what sets them apart is that they require just one playthrough to turn your bonus into cash money. When you win at Bet Rivers, they pay fast. And now it's even faster with Rush Pay. Instant approval for withdrawals. It's safe, it's secure, it's reliable. I know, because I use them. And with March Madness right around the corner, it's here. It's not around the corner, it's here. There's never been a better time to give Bet Rivers Sportsbook a try. So go to BetRivers.com today or download the Bet Rivers iOS app. You must be 21 years or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Deshaun, South Region. Baylor, number one seed. What do you got?
Yes. I think they'll get a first half out of one of the teams in their section. I feel like Baylor will beat Hartford, and then they'll probably play against Wisconsin the next game, and then they'll get a half of good basketball. But Baylor, I don't see anybody until they get to the Elite Eight stopping, or even I look at Coach Painter's team, like they're good and it can cause some problems, but I feel like Baylor, guard wise, that they have too much of an arsenal offensively and defensively on the perimeter. Mm-hmm. Like that no other team can, Wisconsin, like Hartford, no team there can stop Baylor from doing what they want to do.
Yeah, I'm worried about Baylor defensively. And we just on the stadium show I was just on, we actually talked to Scott, and he said that they basically had one day of practice between coming back, like one day of actual practice that wasn't traveling, that wasn't a shoot around, that wasn't trying to save your legs, that wasn't actually playing games, that wasn't traveling. One day of practice since they started playing games. One real, actual, honest to God day of practice. And he basically said like what we've been saying this whole time. Their rotations are just – they're not there. Think about it like this. If you haven't shot a jump shot in 21 days, what's your jump shot going to look like? It's not going to be great. So they have not been practicing their rotations in 21 days. And so their rotations are just not quite as crisp as you need it to be. So, that's my take on it right there. I do think that they're going to be better once the tournament, or once they get these couple of days of practice in, but that's the biggest concern with me. Now, where I think that they have a really interesting matchup is in the second round against North Carolina, because I think you can make the argument that Baylor's best five is when they have Vital at the five and then the four guards, but like Flagler, Butler, Teague, and Davion out there. And you know that there are always going to be two bigs on the floor where North Carolina plays. They're going to attack the offensive glass, and that's the place where you can beat Baylor. So if that happens, that's the place where I do think that they can get picked off.
Yeah. For some reason, I kind of think Wisconsin would win that game. Just I feel like trusting older guards. Caleb Love has been good, but I just trust older guards. And obviously, I'm a Demetri Trice fan, so
let's get that
out the way. That's my guy.
That's your guy. You got to ride or die, you know, man. Now's the time.
I mean, once again, I just feel like Garrison Brooks and is it Sharp?
Yeah, De'Ron Sharp.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like De'Ron and Garrison, they'll do fine, but not as well against Reavers and Potters. I feel like they've had a terrible wrapping up the Big Ten. And I feel like they know this is like, I would hope they know this is their last opportunity against the tournament. So I kind of think that an older guard will take advantage of a younger one in this scenario as far as the Wisconsin and North Carolina game.
Yeah, I'm with you there. All right. So what do you think is the best first round matchup? And do you see any upsets that kind of jump off the page at you?
I like the Florida-Virginia Tech. I'm actually looking forward to seeing who will walk away from that. The North Carolina and the Wisconsin one is really good as well. I mean, but if I had to pick, I would like to see Florida and Virginia Tech. I think it'd be good to see Trey Mann play against the experienced Virginia Tech backcourt. Like, these guys are dogs. So, like, they play with a certain style of basketball, and I can't wait to see if Florida's guards are tough enough to get bought at.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I'm worried about with Virginia Tech is they kind of came off of a recent pause, but at this point, by the time the tournament starts, it'll be 6 days, six more days, something like that, whatever it is. Yeah. So the matchup I'm really intrigued to see is Texas Tech against Utah State. Utah State's got a center named Namish Keita, who is just an absolute monster, a defensive beast. He put like 17 shots through the backboard during the Mountain West Conference Tournament. He's been really, really, really good. And they have some guys around him that can make shots. They have some playmakers. So I do think that Utah State, even though they don't have Sam Merrill, I think that is a good team that just matches up well with what Texas Tech wants to do. So I do think that that's going to be interesting. You know, Texas Tech has had a lot of success recently on the offensive glass and with guys getting to the rim and Micah Peavy kind of making some plays in and around the bucket. So I do think that's going to be interesting. I think that Texas Tech will get by them. The place where I see an upset is the obvious one. Winthrop over Villanova. Winthrop's really, really good. They're going to run. They're going to shoot a lot of threes. They got a kid named Chandler Vaudrin.
Yeah,
6'7" Division II transfer at the point that put up 3 triple doubles this year. He's a great passer. He really just kind of orchestrates everything they do offensively. They've won loss this season, and it came by 2 points. Now they haven't really played anybody, but you go 22-1, you're doing something right. And matching up with a team that doesn't have a great point guard is something that I think that they're going to be able to take advantage of.
Yeah, I mean, they have him, and they got a guy that's DJ Burns, I believe. He's pretty tough. Like, they chance. I mean, and this is not the same Villanova team we saw, and even then, we still thought that same Villanova team was still missing something. So, I mean, at the end of the day, it's a great chance. I still think Villanova will pull this one out. I feel like hopefully Justin Moore is he back?
Yeah, he wasn't fully healthy, but he played.
Yeah, so like having Justin Moore there, and they'll have some guard ready to at least get Villanova by that the first team. I mean, so I can't see Villanova really losing. They got a chance.
What matchups are you really looking? Are you really hoping that will happen at some point in this bracket?
I am looking forward to Ohio State and Texas Tech. I think Texas Tech actually can get to the Sweet 16, and I'm hoping Matt McClung can have a better tournament than he's had his last 4 or 5 games. He's been inconsistent as far as scoring. I feel like teams have been pressing him a little bit more, making him do more than he needs to do. I think around the tournament time, he should be fine, and I would love to see Texas Tech get to the Sweet 16 to play against Ohio State to see which guard will have the best matchup between Mac McClung and Dwayne Washington.
Yeah, Dwayne was so good today. He was unbelievable against Illinois. I think Ohio State is a team that's kind of flying under the radar heading into the tournament right now. I mean, look, I know they had a rough end to the Big Ten regular season schedule, but there's been no team better than Illinois over the course of like the last 4 weeks. And Ohio State could have, maybe arguably should have beaten them in the Big Ten tournament title game. Dwayne Washington, when he plays like this, is an ultimate difference maker. We know how good E.G. Liddell can be. So look, they did all that without Kyle Young, who was out with the results of a concussion symptoms. The other sleeper that I really like in this part of the bracket is Purdue. Painter's really got them playing well. Their young guys have been effective. And I like them because I think that they have a pretty fairly good matchup against North Texas. North Texas is good, don't get me wrong, but that's kind of strength on strength. And when you have strength on strength in a matchup like a 4-13, then I'm just going to bet on the team that has more talent and the bigger conference. And then you get either a wounded Villanova or Winthrop in the second round. So I think that that's fairly easy for Purdue. Easy is the wrong word. I think that's a fairly good path for Purdue. Then if you get Baylor in the Sweet 16, I think that's a matchup I think Purdue can win because, again, they have so much size inside and so many big bodies that I think that they can take advantage of the small lineups that Baylor wants to play. It's kind of what they do is kind of similar, and how they play is kind of similar to North Carolina in the sense that they're kind of built around getting the ball into the paint and operating through their bigs and Zach Edey and Trevion Williams. That would be interesting. Purdue is one that I'm looking at. All right, I need your Elite Eight, and I need your Final Four coming out of the Elite Eight and Final Four coming out of the South.
Let me go. It'll be Baylor and Ohio for my Elite Eight. I think Baylor will play Ohio State, and it'll be interesting because E.J. Liddell won't have that mismatch factor that he normally has over the bigs that he has in the Big Ten, but. Still, even with Vital there, I still think E.J. Liddell will still find a way to get a basket, man. He's been nothing short of amazing the last, I would say, like 6 games or so. He's played great. He's been there constant offensively. So I look forward to watching those guys play.
All right, so let's move on to the I don't even know which region this is. The Midwest East. With
the Midwest.
Midwest. We'll go where Illinois is the number one seed. Man, I think Illinois got one of the toughest draws in this event. You could be looking at Georgia Tech, ACC tournament champion in the second round. Yeah. You could be looking at Cade Cunningham in the Sweet 16. I'm not that sold on Houston, but I do think that we could end up with the situation where West Virginia is heading to the Elite Eight in this spot. What do you make of this region? What do you make of the draw for Illinois? And are the Illini the favorites to get to the Final Four out of the Midwest?
They definitely are the favorite to get to the Final Four. I mean, did you watch the game today? Like, it was amazing. Excuse me. Kofi was amazing. Andre played great. Like, I like the two point guard tandem. I told you I thought that'd be a good idea when we talked about Illinois in our segment. Your team sucks. Make sure you guys check that out. But yeah, I thought that was a nice little pickup for them as far as having Dre in the half court, being able to come up pick and rolls, and then keeping Io to the left so he can go downhill right and also make plays for others. I mean, it was great to watch today. So I think Illinois definitely has a great route set up for them to go to the Final Four. I mean, but it's not easy by any means, but I feel like they can get there. They're talented enough.
Yeah, I mean, they can absolutely get there. And we've gone over Illinois enough. We don't really need to hype them up. The guard looks, the improvements that Kofi has made on the defensive end of the floor. Georgia Tech in that second round, Jose Alvarado is a dog, man.
Yeah, I'm excited to see the guard matchup.
his celebration when they made it to the ACC tournament, I was just like, that is the happiest dude alive. When he was running around and then all of a sudden spotted the balloons and went and jumped in the balloons, I was like, oh my God, look at this guy.
He's enjoying the moment, man.
Yeah, shout out to Jose Alvarado. That'll be great because we have a potential Jose Alvarado, Andre Curbelo matchup in the second round of the tournament, which my two favorite little guards in the country.
See who have the most exciting moments or turnovers.
That's a tough draw for them to get Georgia Tech potentially in the second round and then Oklahoma State potentially in the Sweet 16. I honestly think Oklahoma State that's a really, really difficult matchup for the Illini because so much of what Oklahoma State does plays into the way that they want to play. And look, if we can get Io against Cade in the Sweet 16, like, sign me up for that, bro. That's good.
Everybody wins. Everybody wins in that game.
Everybody wins. All right. So give me the first round matchup you're looking forward to the most and the upset pick that you have coming out of that region.
I am looking forward to out of the first round, I would probably say Rutgers and Clemson. I want to see which Rutgers and which Clemson will get. I feel like I've seen Houston play great, obviously. I've seen like Syracuse is playing against San Diego State, which is going to be a good game. But Rutgers has also had a very good start to the season and a very like blah middle. And then they've started to find their way back toward the end of the season. And Clemson just like they finished strong because they were getting blown out left and right. So I'm excited to see which one of these teams are going to come out. Like, are we going to see a subpar game or are we going to get them both at their absolute best? So this is the game.
I have a confession. That might be the first round game that I'm looking forward to the least.
Clemson. Really?
I get what you're saying. Like, there's a lot to determine there because that's two teams that we both were very high on at one point and aren't now. But it's also like that game's definitely going to be played in like the 50s. And it's going to be ugly, and they're going to be like running flex and shit. And I'm like, I don't think there's a good first round matchup in this region. Now, the second round matchups, it gets juicy quick. So we have the potential of Georgia Tech and Illinois, which we just talked about. Yeah. We could get Oklahoma State and Tennessee in the second round. Buckle up. We can get Syracuse, who always goes on runs. Like you can set your clock to Syracuse going on a run at some point in the NCAA tournament. I think it's going to happen here. Potentially going up against your West Virginia Mountaineers, right? Like that's spicy.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting second round for sure. It's going to be an interesting second round for sure.
All right, so give me your upset special in the first round coming out of this region.
First round.
I teased mine already. I got the orange, baby. The orange. It's always tough to play against. I love Brian Dutcher, but he might have his eye on a job somewhere in the state of Minnesota. And look, the Syracuse, this is what they do, right? They somehow find their way on the bubble. They somehow find their way into the tournament, and then they go on a run. This is what they do.
You see, 82.
They are built for this. They are built for this.
82 Atlantic says Syracuse didn't go on a Baylor in 2019.
Yeah, true.
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 I can argue that.
Yeah.
But,
I like Syracuse in that spot. I kind of think Oregon State can give Tennessee some trouble. Just look, Oregon State plays in a mid-major league in the Pac-12. They finished fifth in a league that basically had three good teams. And I get all that, but Tennessee is just, there's just something about them that it's just not clicking. It never has clicked all season. And you could just see, like, there's always a moment in a game where you can just kind of see the air go out of Tennessee sails. And I don't think that this year is going to be really all that different.
Yeah. I mean, Oregon State is the team that's won its very first Pac-12, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can't count a team that's just made history out. Oregon State, I saw it today. It was pretty funny. Like, they named all the teams that won their conference tournaments, and then it said first time, and it says ever in all caps, like, so, as a joke. So, but shout out to them. I think they got a chance to beat Tennessee, but Tennessee is, if they show up defensively, and I don't really see Oregon State doing too much to stop Tennessee.
That's the thing, right? Like, that's the thing with Tennessee. It's if they show up.
Yeah, that is true. So that's a lot of SEC though.
Yeah. All right. So, talk to me about who you got in the Elite Eight and who you got in the Final Four. Like, how do you think this bracket's going to end up playing out?
Well, you're going to kill me. I have Rutgers beating Houston. Rutgers has enough skill at certain positions, mainly point guard and at the four spot. And then they also can be really big. Now, obviously, I know how well Houston, especially after watching them today, how hard they hit the glass, how they just create the pace defensively and offensively. But I feel when you have certain matchups and size like Rutgers would have over them, and obviously they're sharpened with their conference schedule. I can't count Rutgers out. So I have Rutgers beating Houston in that next round, and then West Virginia versus Rutgers, which I know my boy Benny is over there like smiling.
Ooh.
And I got us.
For people that don't know, Ben Asher was a GA at West Virginia, and now he's on staff at Rutgers. So he'll be a little bit smart.
It'll be a little spicy. I know Ben's gonna
the group chat will get real interesting. But real quick, I just want to follow up your point on Houston.
Yeah.
Houston, like, what they do great is kind of play bully ball a little bit.
Exactly.
And I want to see what happens when they try to play bully ball against the bullies.
Yes.
That makes sense. So it'll be interesting. They're good, they're well coached, they got great guards. Quentin Grimes has been unbelievable this year, that'll be an interesting matchup.
Yeah, so like I think that'll be the case. I got West Virginia getting past Syracuse. If shots are going down, because jump shooting is very important against the zone, and also finding ways to get Derek Culver to score against the zone is going to be like very important for the Mountaineers. Because I mean, I don't see the Mountaineers winning many games if Derek Culver doesn't get his double doubles and Syracuse isn't leaving the zone, so it's not like a worry about double teaming and stuff like they're not coming out of the zone. So the Mountaineers are going to have to make jump shots to get to the next round. I think they will. And I think they got a chance again past Rutgers. I have Illinois getting past Cade Cunningham and those guys in the, I want to say, is that the Sweet 16? And then I see West Virginia and Illinois, in which I have to – do I give you my personal bracket or just my actual pick?
If you could take West Virginia. If you want West Virginia going, take
it. Once again, I know you guys out there are going to hate me. I have my Mountaineers playing – a very, very, very great game against Illinois. It's going to be damn near impossible to – and it'll be a great match to see Kofi and Derek Culver. But I think Deuce McBride is going to have a great tournament. And who else to play other than the best point guard in college basketball?
Yep.
Ayo Dansumo. So
I think that we're going to get Oklahoma State out of this region.
Oh, you do?
I think Oklahoma State will beat Illinois. Yeah, I make it a rule that I got to pick at least one number one seed to lose in the Sweet 16 at some place because it almost always happens. So I think that Oklahoma State picks off Illinois. I think that the ability to take Kofi out will be too much for him. And I'm just going to bet on Cade going full Cade at some point in this tournament. I'm going to say it's against Illinois. I think that we get a Oklahoma-West Virginia part four. Is it part four? Yeah, part four in the Elite Eight. And I'm going to go against your boys. I'm going to have Oklahoma State in the Final Four. It's just – it's ride with Cade, man. Like it's, I'm just riding with Cade.
I hear you.
It is what it is. All right. Before we get back and do the East region, I just want to let you guys know about a new campaign that we have partnered with Manscaped on. It's called Take Care of Your Balls. For the month of March, if you buy anything from Manscaped.com with the promo code FIELD, you will not only get 20% off the show price or the purchase price and free shipping, but a portion of the proceeds will be donated to the Testicular Cancer Society. With the reemergence of March basketball, Manscaped wants to remind men to take care of their balls. Check yourself for the most common form of cancer in men ages 18 to 34, testicular cancer. For those of you that are on Twitter and that read a lot of stuff, like that should hit home. Hit home a little bit for me today because a buddy of mine who writes for CBS Sports, Kyle Boone, shout out to the Booner, announced that he had been diagnosed with testicular cancer. So he's 29. He's got a newborn child. He's got a wife and a family. So it's something that it's real. So make sure that you check yourself. Like the thing about this Manscaped promo is like, I'm not sitting here just trying to sling you lawnmower 3.0s at this point. I'm not just sitting here trying to tell you about the perfect package or the crop mops or whatever it is you need. Like the reason we wanted to partner on Manscaped for this month was because a portion of the proceeds, if you use our promo code, is something that will be donated to the Testicular Cancer Society. So yeah, use the promo code FIELD. If you go and buy something from Manscaped, you'll get 20% off. Some of that money will go to cancer research, and it's for a good cause. And that's really all I got to say. This stuff's good. My wife is pleased with it. So yeah, shout out to Kyle Boone. Feel better, buddy. We're all pulling for you. You're going to kick cancer's ass. I have no doubt about that. You got to make sure you're around to see your Oklahoma State Cowboys make it to the Final Four. Like I predicted, let's move to the last region. Deshaun, we have the East region where, for my money, Michigan got the toughest draw of any number one seed. They might end up getting LSU in the second round of the NCAA tournament. We also have Alabama in that field. We have my UConn Huskies. Got a pretty brutal draw against Scott Van Pelt's Fighting Maryland Terrapins. Texas is there. Florida State is there. Colorado's there. What do you make of the East region day?
It's tough, like you just brought up. I'm watching LSU today. I mean, if I saw this probably like a week ago, I probably would have said Michigan would be fine. But watching LSU today, they shot the absolute piss out of the ball for a good part of the game. And they put it together. So, I mean, LSU's Bonavich is definitely good. Georgetown's played great toward the end of the season, as you know. Florida State is Florida State. BYU, who I was very happy to see play Gonzaga, really tough. Almost like two-thirds of the game, or let's get three-fourths of the game in the championship of the West Coast Conference Championship or whatever. And UConn, I mean, UConn and Maryland are going to be good teams. Alabama's good. We already know Alabama's a good team. Texas, like, this is going to be very difficult for Michigan to come out on top.
Yeah, I really like the matchup for either the Bonnies or LSU against Michigan in the second round. And that has everything to do with the fact that I don't know the status of Isaiah Livers. We've seen him injure that foot and be out for the rest of the season. We've also seen Michigan deal with an injury, make it seem like they were going to be out with a player for a while, and then have Eli Brooks start in the Big Ten tournament 3 days after he actually injured the foot. So there could be a little bit of gamesmanship. There could be a lot of things going on here. We just don't really know. And I have not – the intel that I'm getting is not – there's not a lot of intel. There's a lot of noise, if that makes sense. So, but without Livers, like here's the problem with not having Livers, right? Michigan doesn't really have a star. They have a bunch of guys that thrive in the role that they are asked to play. And Livers plays the role of being the four man that could space the floor, that can guard up or that can guard down if you need him to, being the 22-year-old, being like the best vet on that team, being the best shooter on that team, creating the space for Hunter Dickinson, being one of their better big defenders, being a rebounder. Like, to me, it's a little bit like Virginia losing DeAndre Hunter in 2018, in the sense that they don't really have another guy that can slide into that role and allow him to be as effective. Franz Wagner is better when he can play the three more than he can play the four. Brandon Johns is good in spot minutes, but you don't want him playing all that much time purely as a four, because he's not spacing it. And then LSU, look, say whatever you will about LSU. The coaching matchup between Mark Schmidt and Will Wade in the first round, that there's a huge advantage for the Bonnies. I could legitimately see them losing by 25, the LSU losing by 25 in the first round. But they are also really talented. Javonte Smart is really good. Cam Thomas, fucking bucket. Okay. Trendon Wofford is like it's a point forward at 6'9". It's such a tough matchup. Like, that's
exactly.
That's really, really tough to match up with. That's a difficult matchup for a number one seed in the second round.
Yeah, totally agree. At the end of the day, I still think that without Livers, Michigan's got enough to get past both rounds. I think, like, even if Livers doesn't play until they get to the Sweet 16, I think they have enough with Hunter Dickinson and Wagner to get by. Yep. I just think Michigan is that much more of a good team. Like, to your point that they don't have a superstar in their team, someone will be able – I don't know if they'll be able to step in, but it's next man mentality in a sense what Michigan is. So I feel like they're so much of a team, it won't bother them too much until, you know, you get to the Sweet 16.
Yeah, all right, so let's look at the rest of that bracket. Alabama draws Iona and Rick Pitino in the first round. Yeah. They'll get UConn, Maryland potentially in the second round. We have Texas getting Joel Golding and Abilene Christian in the first round. Then we have BYU facing off with Michigan State or UCLA, whoever wins that first four matchup. Florida State gets UNC Greensboro and Isaiah Miller, one of the most intriguing mid-majors. And then we have Colorado and upstart Georgetown Hoyas. What is your which one of those matchups are you looking forward to the most in the first round, and where do you think the upset is coming from?
I look forward to seeing the UConn-Maryland game. UConn has had a number of things happen to them this season, only to come back even stronger. I think UConn has a good chance of beating Maryland. Maryland's good, but they also show tons of inconsistencies. So if I'm looking at UConn, the way they're finishing up their year, I kind of think I'd take RJ Cole and Book Knight over.
Yeah, honestly, I'm really worried about that matchup. If you look at all the other 10 seeds, I think they would all be better matchups for UConn. Now, Maryland is the kind of team that can go out there and like lose by 15 to literally anybody. But they also won at Illinois.
Yeah,
they won at Illinois. Like, they're a really good team. They can create mismatches with the way that their guys can guard on the perimeter. The one thing that brings me hope is that they don't have much size inside. So I think Adama Sanogo and Isaiah Whaley can kind of overwhelm Maryland the paint, but they have like 17 dudes that are 6'6". They can throw up Book Knight, and what we saw Creighton do in the Big East tournament, what was that? The semifinals. They blitzed them every time he came off a ball screen. Every time they came off a pin down, they sent two dudes at him, and they made the bigs beat them, and the bigs weren't able to do it. So I think that's a tough matchup for UConn. I'm really intrigued. I think Georgetown pulls the upset here over Colorado. I love McKinley Wright, but I just think that this is – I mean, Georgetown's 9-4 since they came out of their pause. They beat the shit. They beat the shit out of Creighton.
It was bad.
It was bad. Like, they were up 54-21. They were up 54-21. Like, I haven't seen some shit like that since I was playing AAU.
A championship game too, mind you. Like,
So I think Georgetown advances – I want to be into UNC Greensboro here, but like, that is just such a tough matchup. Like, Florida State against a mid-major with the athletes and the way that they can switch is just – that's a really, really difficult matchup. Now, UNC Greensboro does have a kid named Isaiah Miller. And, if you got a chance to watch – like, take 10 minutes and watch some film on him, like, this dude – I think this dude might be a pro. But that's not a favorite. Like, they're all the other four seeds – you probably would have been better off drawing. I also think Michigan State UCLA against BYU. I think Michigan State can pull off that upset. And look, for a first four, I'm all into this idea that Michigan State, we got two blue bloods in the first four, baby. Let's go.
Geez. I actually have Michigan State, I think, will beat UCLA, but I have BYU coming out to go against Texas. Yeah. The way I think BYU is unique in the fact that they're somewhat big and they can still space the floor. They pass the ball really well. The guys are very disciplined. And I mean, just like watching that last time I saw them play in the conference championship, like they looked great. So I think they can cause Michigan State or cause UCLA some trouble, but I don't see them getting past Texas.
All right, so break down how you see it playing out a little bit. Like, tell me who you got in the Elite Eight, who you got getting to the Final Four out of this region.
In the Elite Eight, I have a Texas Alabama. Actually, I'm worried about the Alabama Rick Pitino deal.
I am too.
Because I mean, if Alabama doesn't shoot the ball well, I mean, it can get ugly. And it's not like Rick Pitino has a solid team. He has a is it a redshirt senior he has there? That's pretty good. It's pretty good as far as a guard. But, like, I think seeing Rick Pitino the first round or any coach, like, these guys getting ready to see Michigan State first round, it's just like, geez, like, we get a damn six seed, and then we possibly have to see Tom Izzo, who's done this before. So, like, I know the coach is just sitting there like, damn. But I got Alabama and Texas, and I have Michigan and Florida State. And, I mean, if it's between Michigan and – Michigan being Florida, I think Michigan has them as long as Livers is healthy. If Livers isn't there, I think that Florida State defensively, they can cause some problems because Michigan's going to need to go to Dickinson and find offense somewhere. I don't think they get past Florida State without Livers. But if Livers is there, I have Michigan winning that game, and I have Michigan playing against Alabama because I think Alabama against Texas – two teams that play perimeter basketball. They have obviously Texas has an unbelievable physicality as far as bigs and athletes, and they have great guards. They like to play in transition, which is right up Alabama's alley. I feel like Texas shoots a lot more difficult shots than Alabama does, where Alabama sticks to their threes and their layups. They're shooting 40% on both sides of their threes and their layups. So Alabama can cause some issues for Texas. I kind of got Alabama, Michigan, and then I'm letting Michigan go. I think the three number one seeds will go to the Final Four.
So I have Michigan losing to LSU, and that's because this is purely a guess. Like, please don't take this as me having any kind of inside information, because I don't. But I don't think that Isaiah Livers is going to play in the first weekend, and that matchup against LSU, I just, you know, that's one that LSU could very easily win. So I'm going to call my shot on that one. I have Florida State getting to the Elite Eight from that side of the bracket, though. I think that they can get past UNC Greensboro. I think they get past Georgetown. And I think they get past LSU. Out of the bottom half of the bracket, I have Alabama taking care of Iona. That I think that's going to be like Rick Pitino is going to have that team ready to play, like and they have a little bit of talent at Iona, and you know it's going to be a great game plan that he draws up. And the one thing that we've seen with Alabama this year is, like, if they don't come out ready to play, and they're susceptible to a slow start. So I think that they just – if anything, then Nate Oates will probably play this for his team, and it'll wake them up, and they're going to win by 30, which is – hopefully it does, because we want to see Alabama make a run. I have them beating UConn in the second round. Look, as much as I want to be a homer and take UConn to get to the Final Four, like, they didn't give – like, that Maryland was the number 10 seed that I did not want to see, and Alabama was the number 2 seed that I did not want to see. Actually, that's a lie. I would rather have Houston than Alabama, but Alabama, like, that's a tough draw. So I don't think UConn's going to make the run. I have Texas getting to the Final Four, though.
Damn.
I love Matt Coleman at the point. I think that he's so underrated in terms of his decision making, his big shot making, his free throw making. I think that I think he'll play in the NBA. I don't know how long, but I think he's going to be one of these guys we look up in 10 years. Like, oh, Matt Coleman's still a backup point guard in the NBA. Yeah, that makes sense. Jericho Sims is an elite defensive center. And when you combine that with a couple guys that can make shots on the wings and Andrew Jones and Courtney Ramey, and a couple of forwards in Greg Brown and Kai Jones that create mismatches, that make shots, that space the floor, that are athletes that will play in the league. I just think that's really difficult to match up with. So I like Texas getting to the Final Four out of the East, which means that my Final Four is Gonzaga and Texas on one side of the bracket, and then Baylor and Oklahoma State on the other side of the bracket. And if I'm not mistaken, you have Gonzaga, Michigan, and then Baylor, West Virginia in your Final Four. So who's making to the title game? Who's winning the national title? Call your shot right now, Deshaun.
I already know everybody's killing me right now. But either way, I have Gonzaga going to the championship, and I have Baylor going to the championship, and I have Baylor winning. I feel like Baylor has gone through a ton. This is their hit that they're taking right now, but I feel like they'll bounce back, finish off the year strong, and play against a really good Gonzaga team who obviously will get through this gauntlet and obviously prove that their non-conference schedule didn't like soften them up or make them look weak. But I still think Baylor just has too many perimeter defensive and offensive threats for Gonzaga to deal with. And then Gonzaga has a ton of those. So it'll be interesting to see how Mark Vital and Everyday John do against, the Gonzaga's bigs. Or would you call them bigs?
No, I'm with you. So I think I'm going to have Gonzaga playing Baylor in the national title game. And I am going to say that Gonzaga wins the national title. Hot takes abound here. The best team in the country, the team that's been number one all season long, the team that is undefeated, is going to win the title. But here's my bold prediction, and this is how I'll cap it off. I think that Gonzaga wins every game that they play in this tournament by double figures. I don't think that they really get all that tested once. Is that hot? Is that a scorching hot take?
I think that won't be the case. Maybe like two games. I don't foresee Gonzaga just blowing past the competition the entirety of the tournament. Like, I feel like by the time they get to, I had to wait to see Iowa. My bracket, I was like, to their third game, they'll run into some competition that'll make them have to put their brakes on and not blow everybody out. I can't foresee that.
Yep. All right. Well, Day, this has been fun. We made it. We made it, everybody. We made it to the NCAA tournament. We're here. We've been waiting for this for 2 years, Deshaun. For 2 years, and we have a bracket, baby. Let's go.
I'm excited.
Monday, the Dawson and Deshaun podcast. Follow us anywhere you follow us. You know how to do all that stuff. I'm going to go fill out a bracket, baby. I'm fired up. Let's go.